world. So this is Caleb. Caleb, tell us what you saw. All right, so stay up here with me, bud, because I want you to pray for everybody. And there's a couple things the Lord is speaking to here. Number one, your commitment. You know, it's, I love, you know, even the website of Christ the King, fully charismatic, fully evangelical, and fully sacramental. And honestly, your commitment to the cup of the Lord and to communion, not just a weekly, not just a daily Eucharist during the week, but for what that communion speaks of. That we'd be able to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and communion with the Holy Spirit 24/7. God is actually taking what has been has filled this cup in terms of a natural wine, a natural blood, and He's turned it into an altar and incense. In Revelations 8:1-6, it talks about these bowls where the prayers of the saints go up and they're mixed with the fire of God. And it talks about these angels that have been given an assignment at the altar of incense to dip their censers into the bowls and then send the answers to the prayers of the saints back to the earth with lightnings, with thunders, and with earthquakes. And so I believe that what Caleb was seeing during worship was the prayers of saints, the prayers of the saints in Selma and the cities represented here and those who are watching around the world right now have reached a tipping point in the economy of heaven. And what's happening is God is now about to release fire where there's been a willingness to offer intercession and incense. And in that place of fire, it was a heart, which was the heart of the Lord Jesus. It was the heart of God that came up and wrapped itself around the Lord. And so there's something of a fire that's being released. It's going to release not only an answer to prayers that have been prayed, but it's going to be the expression of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So Caleb, can you pray for everybody out of what you saw? Just go ahead and stretch out your hand and pray for them. Amen. 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 Good job, bud. Amen. Tell you, that's a good prayer. Let your cup fill with fire. Amen. Say that with me. God, fill my cup with fire tonight. Fill my cup with fire tonight. Man, I feel God on that. How many of you felt something come into the room even when He said that? God, fill. Let's just take a moment. I mean, we got time to teach, but right now we've got a moment in time. God, fill. Oh, fill our cups with fire. I want to tell you tonight that if you're coming in a way where you have felt empty, if you have felt poured out, I want to tell you that in the presence of your enemies, God has prepared a table and He is speaking loud and He is speaking clear. And it's a place of fresh anointing. It's a place of fresh oil. It's a place where your cup can begin to be overflowed. Where the cup of who you're called to be can begin to overflow into the heart of this city. To where the fire of God is not just released in here, but it's released out there. To where goodness and mercy would follow not only you, but it would also begin to pave the way in and through this city and the cities of the world. So Father, we say tonight, fill our cups with fire. Fill our cups with fire. Fill our cups with fire in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, this afternoon, we began growing in the prophetic 101. How many of you are here this afternoon? Okay? Did you have a good time? Awesome. Now, we had attempted to get to growing in the prophetic 102. We just couldn't get there, but that's okay. How many of you were not here this afternoon and need a study guide for tonight? Just go ahead and raise your hand high. Father Mark and Luke and the guys are going to help in passing these out. Again, we're passing out 102. This is Growing the Prophetic 102. I created study guides and manuals for everybody to where we can all follow along. And that way you can also take something with you. Okay? And then we'll also pass out here in a minute, Growing in the Prophetic 103 as well. The first thing we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at how to interpret prophetic impressions and perceptions, but where we're going is to be able to recognize and remove idols within our heart. Say this with me, idols are bad. See, but here's the problem with idols. Oftentimes, we have a place of idolatry set up in our heart that we become so familiar with or has been handed down to us from previous generations that we're not even aware there's an idol set up on our altar. Amen? You know, and so there's something about, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, let us not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so if we can be aware of what's working in us, we can be more available for God to work through us. Amen? Let's go ahead and take 102. And I'm just so thankful for how Holy Spirit is already moving in the heart of worship here. I'm so thankful for the ministry of Luke and the team. So thankful for Bishop and for Father Mark and for just the house here opening up their heart and allowing us to come in and to serve what God is already doing in Selma, as well as the various cities that are represented here through various pastors and leaders and those who are watching as well. We just love it here in Selma. We love it at Christ the King, and it is a real honor to be with you tonight. We covered a lot of ground this afternoon. So if you weren't here, Luke, are the archives, they can be available online? Is there a way that, okay, they'll be available on the website that you can go back and catch up with those. If you weren't here and you also say, hey, listen, I want an outline, I want a study guide of what I missed, I made enough copies before I came for everybody to have a copy as well. So if you missed our introduction today, you can get those on the way out. I'll send Rosemary all of the originals in a digital format so they can reprint them as well. And it looks like we'll probably release some more things in the morning if that works out with everybody's schedule. So how many of you say, just fill me up, God? I don't know about you, but the way that I am, I'll tell you, when I go to a buffet, I don't leave hungry. I'm just saying. And so if there's fresh food on the table, I'm saying, listen, I'm going to take everything I can, and what I can't get in, I'll just make a little Holy Ghost doggy bag and take home and eat it when I'm hungry. So we're going to try to release as much as we can, both in information and impartation, and still make a lot of room for activation as well. But everybody has your study guide 102. Okay, let's start. Man, thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you. God, I thank you for the presence of the Lord that's in this place. I thank you for what you're doing with my friends here. And God, we do. We consider it an honor to stand here just as a mouthpiece of encouragement. God, I ask that you tonight, Lord, that you would take our words and use them to impart hope to each and every person who hears our voice tonight. God, that you would take the ministry of the prophetic and use it tonight to do what the prophetic does, to bring encouragement, exhortation, edification, the strengthening and the building up of your body to where you could rightly be positioned as the head in all things in our life. God, we thank you for the privilege and we commit this night to you. Holy Spirit, come and Holy Spirit, stay. In Jesus' name. So as you'll see, we've got blanks prepared here. And so we'll move kind of quickly through this first teaching, but we want to make sure we do cover all of the ground and provide all the blanks that are listed there. It's a pretty complete teaching in and of itself. And of course, Bishop and I were talking after this afternoon session, and he's already said, you know what, we need to come back and do an advanced School of the Prophets. And so everyone who's here, make plans. We'll be coming back probably sometime next year to do it again and to be able to go just deeper in what's been presented last night, this morning, this afternoon, and what we're going to be doing over the next two sessions as well. But here we open up with a statement that a fundamental aspect to God's nature is that He is a communicator. He is a communicator. So much so, He was called the Word. He is the Word. The Word became flesh and the Word dwelt among us. It said He is also a creator. And so He's a communicator and He's a creator. So as we continue to examine how God speaks, let us also remember that creativity is often expressed in and through the ways that He communicates. Okay? As soon as you figure out how God talks, He's going to change it up on you. That's why I so appreciated the word that our brother gave about being like a child and remaining childlike. And remaining, you know, one of the things the Lord told us, He says, if you stay flexible, you don't have to get bent out of shape. And so part of being able to be fluid in a move of God and to be able to move when God moves is recognizing that humility is the posture that releases promotion. 1 Peter 5:5 says, if we humble ourselves, it doesn't say if you humble your neighbor or you humble somebody else, but if we humble ourselves in due time, God will exalt us. Amen? When is due time? It's typically right after your time. Right? I mean, how many ladies during pregnancy, man, they're like, I'm ready to have the baby. It's always just before it's time, right? I've never met a mom who said, you know what, I could have gone about 2 weeks longer. That turkey wasn't done cooking yet. But God is a communicator and God is a creator. And He's very creative in how He communicates. One of the things we try to teach our folks at Kingsway is that, I believe that God would have us to come to Him devoid of expectation, but filled with a spirit of expectancy. In other words, God does not want us to prematurely define how we're expecting God to move, but just saying, God, we'd love for You to move. Amen? And so that's one of the things that we come to the Lord seeking. We talked about today a prophetic posture of how to receive and how to process revelation. We talked about Luke 11:9-13, that everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, there's a door open to them to bring an application of the interpretation of the revelation that they've been given by God. Amen? But it starts with us asking. It starts with us seeking, but oftentimes we have to recognize that the Lord may speak outside of the parameters in our life that He has spoke in times past. Because we are always being called to grow up in all things to Him who is Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's not look back at just how God has spoken in times past. I'm constantly saying, God, speak to me in new ways that are going to cause me to have to depend on You more than I ever have before. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for where I've been, but I don't want to go back there. I believe that God is bringing us into a land that it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not yet seen, ear has not yet heard, it has not even entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for you. But it says the Holy Spirit is revealing these plans to us. Amen? As He searches the depth of God, He's releasing it to the depth in us. And what the Holy Spirit does through the ministry of prophecy is He begins to reach into the depth of who you are and begins to pull out treasure that nobody sees. You see, honestly, to minister prophetically is just like being like a Jacques Cousteau. You're in search of buried treasure that no one else cares enough to go after. And I'll tell you, God saves His best for those. Amen? And so when we begin to seek by the Spirit of God to discover and to excavate the treasures of the Lord in the lives of those around us, it really does prepare us for a place to not only become a recipient of God's inheritance in the saints, but also a distributor of the kingdom of God here on earth. John 1:1-5, we've got some scriptural support for where we're going. How many of you love the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word. The first blank there is Word. And the Word was God, and the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. I want to tell you this. The prophetic, Jeremiah 1 says this. He says, I set you as a prophet to root out, to pull down, to build, and to plant. And the prophetic, it roots out obstructive forces. It pulls down dividing walls, but it also has the power to build. It has the power to make. It has the power to reproduce. Hebrews 11:3 tells us this. It says, by faith, we understand. That's a revelation right there. It doesn't say you understand and then have faith. That's how a lot of people say, hey, help me understand before I buy into what you're talking about here. Listen, our gospel is not an infomercial. It is not your responsibility to bring understanding. In fact, that's a ministry of Holy Spirit in Isaiah 11. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Your responsibility is to present the truth and to allow Holy Spirit to have something to breathe on in the lives of those around us. And so what we see here is the prophetic, it makes, it builds, it plants. Just as the writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand, the world was framed by the words God spoke. Genesis 1:26, the Godhead says this, they say, let us make man in our image. So what does that tell us? The world we live in is framed by the words we speak. Not only that, but you can step into the lives of those around you. How many of you ever, anybody here ever bought, sold, flipped, restored houses? Okay, you step into a situation and all of a sudden you're like, man, well, listen, it would really help them to do this in the kitchen and to do that in the foyer. And man, let's just gut the bathrooms. And I'll tell you, the prophetic does that. It can go into a house that looks like it's been destroyed. And before you know it, within 30 days, you can flip that thing and it's a brand new dwelling. And see, the prophetic goes in and it roots out, it pulls down, it cleans up, and then it builds and implants in a way to where it's usable and it's beneficial to the body of Christ. He goes on to say, John 1, in Him the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines in the darkness. So if in Him was life, and He was the light, and He is the Word, and by Him all things were made, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, where does the light belong? In the darkness. You see, and it's amazing. It's awesome. It is a treasure to have a body of believers who will come together and will encourage one another in their faith and in their destiny. But I want to tell you, you know where your light shines the most? Where your light shines the brightest? In the darkest of places. That's one of the reasons why, you know, when Bishop goes to Africa and he can see 1,500 plus of 1,700 he prays for healed. You know, I mean, we were just in Kenya recently, and it was just amazing seeing not just the harvest and the crusade, but also the authority. You know why? You step into darkness, and your light gets that much brighter. You see, I've never been in a room where somebody said, "Hey, listen, can you turn down the darkness?" It's always, "Can you turn on the light?" You see, and there's nothing little about your light. There's nothing little. That song was a lie. This little light of mine, the only thing little about your light is your perspective of it. You have the greatest light that has ever been lit. Because the one who said that He was the light of the world said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to prepare a place, and while I'm gone, you're the light." 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, not as He was. As He is, so are we in this world." Amen? And it says He ever lives making intercession for the saints. And part of how we do that is from receiving prophetic revelation and being able to apply that revelation in the lives of those around us. So Jesus is the Word. As we discussed earlier today, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In the same way that communicating is a fundamental aspect of God's nature, the ability to hear, the blank there is hear, God's voice is fundamental to every believer's nature. If you are born again, that is proof that you have heard God's voice. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I've never heard God speak? He said His sheep know His voice, and a stranger's voice they won't follow. So if you're counted among them, you've heard His voice. And from then on, it's a process of growth. It's a relational process. It's a process of learning the different ways that He communicates. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." You see, I'm so thankful for the way the Father draws men to the Son, because it says He holds the hearts of kings in His hand and turns whichever way He wishes, just like the river, Proverbs 21:1. But also you have to recognize that part of the way that He draws them to Him is through you. It's like you're a bucket. Isaiah 12:3 says that with joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation. And then verses 4 through 6 talk about how that bucket is thrown onto those who are lost, thrown onto those who are dying, thrown onto those who are darkness, so that the joy that we have drawn with can be given away to those who are dry and thirsty. And so I want to tell you tonight that God is drawing Selma. God is drawing the cities who are represented here and the states, California, Idaho, and wherever you're from. God is drawing. But it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters. It says a man of understanding draws it out. And we talked about this afternoon that understanding is the essence of interpretation. And so God is wanting to marry your revelation with interpretation and understanding, so you can bring application in a way that causes others to be able to enter into the fullness of our Father's house. Amen? So it goes on here, John 10, 1 through 6. Let's read it together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Okay, now what does it mean that he leads them out? He guides them and he directs them by his voice. And when he brings out his sheep, it says he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Man, you know his voice. You do. You know his voice so much more than you've heard, you've known. You know his voice. You see, and this speaks of not just a following the Lord, but it speaks of deliverance. It speaks of breakthrough. It says in Micah 2:13, it says that when the one who breaks open, it says he'll come up before them, and they, which is you, will all break out. Say, break out. Break out. It says that you will pass through the gate, you will go out by it, and the king will pass before you with the Lord at your head. And see, I want to tell you tonight that when we can begin to follow the voice who is the Word, when we can begin to follow the Shepherd who is the door, I don't care where you are, I don't care where you've been, I don't care how hard it looks, we make room in our life, as Father Mark talked about, when we return to the stronghold for the Master of the Breakthrough to go before us, and we simply follow His voice into a place of victory and into a place of breakthrough. Okay? For those of you, how many of you were not here this afternoon by a show of hands? Okay, not many. Good. I'm glad a lot of you are here. This afternoon, we, of course, talked about what is prophecy. We talked about how to cultivate a prophetic heart. We talked about what it looks like to maintain and pursue a prophetic posture. We looked at why prophesy. Why prophesy? We looked at how to prophetically process revelation, ways God speaks, and the levels of revelation in which God speaks, as well as keys to hearing God's voice. All of those outlines and study guides are available to you. And of course, the archives will be available on the website as well. But tonight, what I want to talk to you about first is about interpreting impressions and prophetic perceptions. Impressions and prophetic perceptions. See, because a lot of times I think we're looking for the booming voice of God, right? Or all of a sudden we're going to be standing trying to minister prophetically to somebody, and an angel comes in and blows a silver trumpet in our face, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit sticks His hand in the back of our head like a puppeteer and just begins to move our mouth, right? That's not how it works. He's the helper. He's not the doer. If we'll give Him something to help, He'll help us more than we can imagine. Amen? But it all comes back to asking for revelation. And you see, that's your next point here, is the receiving of revelation. Ways God speaks and levels of revelation that come. Turn with me to Job chapter 33, 14 through 17. Job chapter 33. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to go ahead and start to read it. Looking at time tonight, too, we'll have to just kind of see how things are. We'll definitely get through 102. It might be that we need to pick up with 103 in the morning in terms of recognizing or removing idols, but it actually goes right into activation and impartation, and so it'll work out great. So we'll just see what the grace is we have for tonight and follow the Lord as best we can. Job 33, verse 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life by perishing from the sword. You know, I used to read that and I said, Lord, what do you mean you conceal pride from man when you can turn us away from our deeds? And the Lord began to speak to me about what the highest form of pride is. Okay? The highest form of pride is not just thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips. That's kind of low level pride. The highest form of pride is anxiety. And God resists the proud. It's worry. Now, we've all done it. But this is what worry says. God doesn't love me enough, or God doesn't care enough to take care of this, so I better take on what God's responsibility is and carry it upon my back. And next thing you know, we are carrying what the Lord is wanting to carry for us. That's why it says in Proverbs 16:3, commit, which means to roll off your work to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your work. Commit your work to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. How many of us, we have our thought life when it comes to our vocation? Man, we're staying up at night just trying to figure out how to get ends to meet, balance the spreadsheets, I mean, all these kind of things. Commit. Roll off. There has to be a time in our life where we cast our care on the Lord because He cares for us. You see, it says in 1 Peter 5, and it does, it talks about humble yourself and in due time He'll exalt you. And then it tells us how to humble ourselves, right? How to not worry, how to live a life free from pride. It says by casting your care on Him because He cares for you. Casting your care on Him because He cares for you. And then it goes on and it tells us why. It says because your adversary, the devil, goes about like, not as, but like a roaring lion. Making a lot of noise, but he's all gums. Wow. But when you get up close, he's like, cha-ching, no teeth. Listen, he's making a lot of noise, but he has no bite. It says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what may speaks of? Permission granted. And see, one of the things that we see prophetically is we begin to recognize there's areas that we've granted the enemy permission in our life. Because see, can represents ability to do so. I remember, you know, going to, you know, first grade, you know, you're coming to school and you raise your hand, can I go to the bathroom? And the teacher's like, I don't know, can you? May I? Yes, you may. You know, I just had an article come out, I guess it was May 8th on the Elijah List. How many of you subscribe to the Elijah List? And it was called You May, A Month of Permission Granted. And the Lord actually spoke to me that May, and there's a part two that's coming out. It was, of course, on our website, where the Lord had spoke to us that God was granting permission that was going to release justice in favor of the saints in the prophetic month of May. But it was not going to be granted to those who say, may I. It would, however, be granted to those who say, may we. It would be those whose heart and their posture is not for personal advancement, but for collective advancement. That we as the body of Christ and the family of God could step into a new window of destiny that has been denied us in times past, where we would recognize the resistance and tension we have experienced up until now was in some ways the Lord opposing us for such an appointed time as this, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Why the Lord would oppose us at a door of destiny, and how we're given an opportunity in that moment to see the idols in our heart removed. Okay? But this is a month of permission being granted. But what we'll find, and this is part of being able to hear the voice of God, we'll begin to find areas through omission and commission, we have granted access to the enemy unawares. A lot of that has to do with idols that have been formed in our heart, which we're going to talk more in depth about tomorrow morning. But one clear way to recognize, you know, and people say, you know, 85% of people go, man, I don't have an idol in my heart. What are you talking about, bro? This message is for somebody on Ustream. This ain't for me. This is how you can find out. Real simple test if you have an idol in your heart, and I'll help you understand tomorrow. And see, because you can be hearing God accurately in terms of hearing that God is speaking accurately. But when an idol comes up in your heart, what you find is all of a sudden you begin to interpret wrongly what God is saying, because you begin to filter it through the idol that has, unbeknownst to you, set up camp within the region of your heart. Okay? And this is just a real easy way to identify if you've allowed an idol on your altar. Okay? For me, I had seasons in my life where revival was an idol. How could that be? You can really easily recognize and define what's become an idol by recognizing anything in your personal prayer life that has gained a higher seat of affection than the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing can become an idol. Favor. See, there's order in the kingdom. Revival, you know. Your marriage. There's so many things that we can put ahead. Listen, the Lord is not just the head of the church. He is the Lord of our life. And anytime we recognize that the affection, we're going to talk more in depth about this tomorrow morning. Anytime we recognize the affections of our heart have superseded the Lord, and the Lord has taken a lower seat to something we desire, we recognize, you know what? I'm on a pathway to destruction. I am already being deceived, and I'm already being led astray. Okay? How many of you recognize that there's been times in your life where you were praying good things, but those good things took a God seat? I have. And I'll tell you what happens when that happens. I became the one responsible to bring that prayer to pass. And that is where the danger comes in. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow in the life of Ezekiel. We're going to talk about it tomorrow in the life of Balaam, and how to keep our prophetic river clean, how to keep our prophetic filter clean and spotless and without blemish, that when God speaks, we don't have agenda, ambition, or any part of us that is mixed and mingled with His revelation, but that we can speak as God speaks and minister as God ministers. How many of you want to be able to release a clear prophetic expression? You don't want any mixture in your life when it comes to the voice of God. Amen? You see, in many ways, the prophetic movement is regaining and revaluing its spiritual currency. There's a lot of people right now that are following the RV, the revaluing of various currencies. I'll tell you, the currency that matters most, our word. Amen. That when we call something something, it is. You know, Abraham spoke to things that did not exist as though they did. He didn't speak to things that did as though they did not. He wasn't in denial. He was way out. And so one of the things that God is wanting us to do is an integrity in the prophetic. Amen? To where we can begin to recognize where we are and recognize where the Lord is inviting us to go, and be faithful to partner with the ministry of the Holy Spirit to get there and help to lead the way for others as well. That's not my message, but somebody here tonight needs to hear that. Awesome. My man. Let's turn to Numbers 12. A lot of times what happens to me, you know, we'll have an outline and it just kind of gives us something to throw on the altar and light a match to. A lot of times I hear and I feel what I call reasoning. I perceive within my heart reasoning within the room. Questions people are asking in their own heart, whether it's about subject matter that's being presented or things in their own life. And so that's why sometimes we'll speak to something over here, and then all of a sudden we'll speak to something over there, and then we'll speak to this over here, and then all of a sudden at the end we bring it all back together as many pieces, a part of one puzzle. Because I believe that God is wanting to bring everyone on board. Amen? And He loves us all so much, He'll allow us to perceive in ourselves where some people may have, you know what, I could use a little more explanation in this area. Or you said this, and I'd like one more scripture to kind of back up what you said, because that was kind of a bold statement. Well, that's one of the things in terms of interpreting impressions and perceiving and your prophetic perceptions is begin to recognize, and this is where many of you tonight are going to recognize, God has always been speaking. We just didn't always recognize it as the voice of God that was talking. A lot of times, oh man, that was just me, you know, man. Sometimes I want to tell you, you know, just like we talked about today, sometimes we've been trying to medicate revelation. You walk into a grocery store, the Lord begins to allow you to experience pain in your body temporarily to begin to recognize and identify and to bring healing to those who are afflicted with similar conditions. And you walk in like, oh man, whew, my head. Got any Advil? And all of a sudden there's somebody right next to you going, oh Lord, I just wish you'd send somebody to pray for this headache. And you're right there. See, we're so quick in our Western world. And again, that's another reason why miracles just pop in Africa. Because they don't have a plan B. They don't have a plan B. I was driving back from Orange Beach a couple weeks ago. And the Lord just told me real quickly. He said, Jason, I don't have a plan B. He was talking about what we're called to do in the city. He said, listen, I'm going all in with you. And you know what? I bet he's telling some other guys that too. But he wants me to believe that failure is not an option. That he's 100% invested in who you are. He's 100% invested in the fact that you are going to succeed in all that you're created to do. Amen? And the same thing happens as we have impressions and prophetic perceptions. Oftentimes, we just say, oh, well, that's just me. And we take credit wrongly for things that the Lord is saying. Right? We talked about, you know, we gave the example earlier about Mark. You know, all of a sudden Mark, you know, is walking through the produce section, Father Mark, and he sees a young girl and he says, Lord, you know, would you speak to me for this girl? And all of a sudden he sees an apple and his soul and the accuser of the brethren says, well, you just walk by the apples and that's why you're seeing that. That's you and that's not God. Let me tell you, everyone who asks receives. So if you ask, don't doubt what he says. Amen. Take it. And then say, okay, God, now what is it that you're saying? Because sometimes the Lord will speak to us in what's called dark sayings. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And by the way, I just want to bless and encourage the hunger in this house and the receptivity. The receptivity. I felt it this afternoon. You could feel hunger. You could feel momentum in your hearts. And I'll tell you, that's not something a speaker can bring. That's a heart that you've cultivated. And I want to affirm you. I want to bless you and say, well done. Well done. This is, I'll tell you, and Bishop, I believe I spoke to this last time I was here. I feel it so much that this is called to be a Berea. Selma is called to be a Berea. The word Berea in the Greek means well-watered. It was in Acts 17:11. It says that the Bereans are more fair-minded than the Thessalonians in this. They heard the word of God with all readiness, and then they diligently sought it out to see if what they heard was true. And see, Deuteronomy 32:2, Moses said, my teaching fell upon the people like the rain. Berea means well-watered. You can actually create a climate through your hunger and through your thirst. Do you know you can actually determine the extent of an outpouring because of your spiritual thirst? Isaiah 44:3 tells you, he'll pour water on him who is thirsty. He'll pour floods on dry ground. He'll pour a spirit on your descendants and his blessing on your offspring. That's because of one person's thirst. Not only do they come into personal revival, but corporate outpouring and generational blessing. It's about one person's thirst. And I believe if God could get a group of hungry and thirsty people together, I mean, let's just throw out 120. Get them in one place in unanimous agreement and what they're believing for, what they're pursuing. They're agreed with the vision that's been presented and the promise that has been granted. I think that could become a resting place for God. And I think that's what God is doing in this place. And he's doing it a lot of places. But we must be jealous for what God is doing here. Amen? You see, wherever you are can be God's favorite place to be because you're there. And we'll figure it out when we get to heaven. Amen? Numbers 12. Everybody there? Then he said, hear now my words. Is there a prophet among you? I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. And of course, this is when Aaron and Miriam were, they were challenging what God was speaking to Moses and why God spoke to him a little bit differently. And the Lord is saying, hey, listen, these are the ways that I speak. I speak to Moses differently, but he's talking about, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. And see, part of the prophetic is the Lord making himself known. That word known there in Hebrew is yada. Yada. It's just fun to say. Say it with me. Yada. Yada, yada, yada. 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 Yada means this. It means to know or to ascertain by seeing for oneself. You see, it's one thing if you see a wreck, you're then an eyewitness. It's another thing if you've heard the report of another. It doesn't carry the same weight. Amen? And I'll tell you what's inadmissible in a court of law is third-party witness, right? You can't hear something third-hand. That's inadmissible. And see, we as witnesses, anointed, called, and created to present evidence of our testimony of what we've seen, heard, and touched with our own hands, 1 John 1, we must not lean on secondhand revelation, but we must press in to see what God wants to show us for ourselves. Whenever you hear the revelation of somebody else, it should always be an invitation to draw you further into their presence. It should never be applauded from a distance and be like, "Whoo, that was awesome. 8 out of 10 on the prophetic scale. That was a good word." It should always be like a launching one another ahead. Not from a spirit of competition, not from ambition, but like, "Whoo, that was awesome. And that just became the new floor. I'm about to leap forward in God." Amen. But for so long, we've related to it as a distance. Wow, man, that's the bar. No, that's the floor. Because once God allows you to see it, that's the beginning place. Amen. But then he goes on and says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. Well, what does that say? Not so with Moses. He's faithful in my house. You know what that means? When we're faithful in the little, when we do not despise, you know, Bishop Chuck spoke earlier, Zechariah 4:12, that talked about the two anointed ones, the sons of fresh oil, and it said this was their position. They were those who stood by the Lord. They positioned themselves by standing by the Lord. Two verses earlier in verse 10, it says this. It says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day that God spoke to you through an impression, a perception, a Holy Ghost reminder, something you felt, a stray thought. It could have been God. It could have been pizza. I don't know. So many times we're trying to measure the level that we're receiving the communication of God based on some sort of super spiritual. I'll tell you, a lot of times when people present kind of, you know, in terms of public speakers, mentors, prophets of our day, when they present how the revelation came or they present the word, there's a tremendous injustice being done because they don't present the process by which that word came. And I want to tell you this, many of you, God is speaking to you the exact same way. They just have a little bit longer track record. Okay? Each and every one of you can hear. We talked about it today. How can you see what the Father is doing? John 5:20. The Father loves the Son, loves the daughter, and shows him all things he himself is doing, even greater works than these that we may all marvel. And see, I want to tell you, the love of the Father and the identity of Son, that will open every eye to see what's happening in heaven, to where we can loose on earth what has been loosed in heaven and to bind on earth what has been bound in heaven. It's a revelation of love. Doesn't have anything to do with your office. We all have the same view. Amen? But when we're faithful, we see an increase. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, write that in there. It says, so let a man consider us to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. How many of you want to be a steward of the mysteries? It starts with being a servant of Christ. Okay? Now, I know John 15:15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends, because everything I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Okay? But it's a willingness to become a servant that all of a sudden positions us to be promoted as a friend. It's a willingness to say, God, the first thing the Lord said was deny yourself. I just preached a series called Deny Your Selfie. Come on, for our family series. Because oftentimes we spend our life trying to put a better filter on who we are to make us look better on the eyes of those around us instead of using the tools that God has given us to make others look better. Deny your selfie. But he says, not so to my servant Moses, because he's faithful in my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so I want to talk about prophetic riddles and how to put together impressions and perceptions. And again, tomorrow morning, for the sake of time, we'll go ahead and jump into recognizing and removing idols. But here we talk about, we see that the Lord identifies dreams, visions, and dark sayings as being widely accepted fundamental ways that God speaks. But what is a dark saying? How many of you get excited about that? Like, ooh, I just had a dark saying. It's like a bad fortune cookie. Dark sayings are simply this: a riddle, a parable, or a puzzle. It's the definition. And this is oftentimes how revelation initially comes. It comes as something to where it's not a baton that's being handed off. We're not being given the complete package, but we're being given an invitation where the Lord is saying, here's a piece. If you want the other, I got it over here. And revelation comes to evoke something in our heart of a desire for God, to where we'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us, and as we receive the interpretation, collectively we minister it together, both in the nature and in the heart of God. A puzzle is made up of pieces that have to be first located or discovered and then rightly fitted together. Okay? Rightly fitted together. I'll tell you, one of the things that when it comes to the prophetic, an order of operations is really important. That was why, you know, even our brother who mentioned about the four candles and the angel and the mountain and seeing Bishop Chuck and seeing the plucking of the olive tree, the progression of the presentation was important because it painted a picture and it brought us on a journey to where we recognized the truth that we came to. Okay, I'll tell you one of the things that the prophetic does as well. Oftentimes in our life, we have what I call life speaking louder than truth. Anybody ever been there? Life screaming and truth is whispering. What the prophetic does is it causes the life around us to be silenced so the truth of the Lord can have center stage. It silences the accusers. So, Luke 11, we looked at it today. Everybody's familiar with it, right? In terms of the process and the prophetic process of ask, seek, and knock. Okay? Now, let's look at mental or spiritual impressions and perceptions. Okay? Now, impressions are the simplest form of prophetic revelation. Simplest form. And when I say simplest form, I mean the most common. And they're coming all the time. Okay? We're going to define what they are so we recognize how they come and how we're receiving them. Almost every Christian is hearing God speak through impressions, but because of general ignorance about revelation gifts in the church, many do not recognize these impressions as being God-given, but discount them as stray thoughts, coincidence, or daydreaming. In fact, a lot of folks whose primary language with the Lord is impressions and perceptions, it's a lot of intercessors. It's a lot of intercessors, but it's also a lot who have been given a mercy gift in the body of Christ. Givers, mercy gifts, and here's what happens. If you don't understand how the Lord is speaking to you, at times you feel unstable. Because you walk into a room, and it's like you're fine, you're like, oh man, it's a beautiful day. You walk into a room, oh God, oh. And it's like the spirit of Chicken Little has come upon you. The sky is all of a sudden falling. And it's like, nothing has changed in your world, but something of an emotion. See, God, listen, God, He created emotions. God will use your emotions. I don't want to use the word use wrong. God will speak through your emotions. But it's important to discern, nothing in my life has changed since I walked through this door. And so if I'm feeling this, I'm having this emotional response, it must be that God is wanting to speak something to me that He could speak through me, to where I would not just be a thermometer to assess the spiritual climate in here, but instead I could be a thermostat and position myself in a place of intercession and say, I'm going to attach myself to the wall of what God wants to do in this city and even in this room. We're just going to dial it back, and I'm not just going to be content to say how things are. God, I'm going to stay here until Your hand comes in and touches me in a way to where it brings the climate of what's called to be into this place. And so what happens is these impressions, these perceptions, they come oftentimes as stray thoughts or feelings. Stray thoughts, or feelings. The blank there, under number two, we've got mental or spiritual impressions of perception, and then stray thoughts or feelings. Most people have experienced the phenomenon of suddenly thinking about someone they have not seen or heard from in years. Then by chance encountering that person later that same day or week. How many of you have had this? Okay? You, my friends, are a prophetic people. All right? And then, then by chance encountering that person later that day or same week. Others, during the course of their day, have a stray thought about something a friend or acquaintance needs to do. I mean, how many of you have ever had just a crazy thought about a friend, and you're like, man, you know what? It's time for them to go into full-time ministry. Or, you know what? I wonder if they got that molar checked out they were talking about 2 weeks ago. Or how many of you have ever had that? See, that's oftentimes the Lord issuing a revelation, looking for compassion in the heart of the one He's issuing it to, saying, hey, listen, can you and I get together and bring change to this person's life? But so oftentimes, I'll tell you this, the prophetic requires a willingness to be inconvenienced. Because oftentimes the greatest opportunities to be used by God come when either you have somewhere to be or you're already running late. You laugh because it's true. Okay? Later, it's discovered that their stray thought was an accurate insight. How many of you ever had that? You think about something, and all of a sudden you find out later, that was God. What talked you out of it? See, it's important, as much as it's important to recognize the voice of God, it's also important to recognize the voice of the enemy so you can shut that thing off. Shut out doubt and unbelief. What many people think are coincidences are actually valid prophetic impressions from God. What would happen if we begin recognizing the impressions that we receive as being from God? In other words, going, Lord, is that you? Instead of discounting, instead of being quick to discount something as not God, what if instead we said, God, is that you? Inquiring minds want to know. He would begin using you to speak to people that He wants to touch. Let me give you some biblical examples real quick. Acts 14, 8 through 10. This is the King James. So there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leapt and he walked. You know, what if Paul had told him before he perceived he had faith, get up and walk? He would not have got up and walked. And see, you have a knower. Say, I've got a knower. 1 John 2:20 tells you do. It says you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You know all things. You have a Holy Ghost knower. That is part of the ministry of the anointing in 1 John 2:20. Paul was operating in a divine knowledge. He looked at this man and it said he perceived he had faith. So he said, rise up and walk. How many of you ever looked at somebody and perceived what was going on in their heart? Whether good or bad, God is opening a curtain. He's like pulling back a curtain. He's allowing you to look through a window of their soul so that you can bring light either into darkness or you can call them out of darkness into light. Okay? Next example, Acts 27, verse 10. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Also our lives. I had a friend, she's a prominent worship leader, you get all know her name. This is when she actually was newly, spontaneously shouting out profanities. It was amazing. Newly saved, but tuned into the voice of God. Okay? And I'll tell you, the Lord is not as worried about people's process as sometimes the church is. As long as there's forward progress, He's happy. Amen? I was in Boise, Idaho doing a meeting one time. I don't know if I've told you this story. Raise your hand and tell me to stop. But We were doing a miracle service, and it was great. The Lord was opening up a bunch of deaf ears. He was doing it through me telling the testimony of seeing deaf ears open with wet willies. It was an awesome night. And had three brand new eardrums created through the ministry of Wet Willie. And for those who don't know, that's when you stick your finger in your mouth and you get it good and lubed up and pop it in somebody's ear. And so I was telling them a testimony of how this had happened on the streets of Charlotte. And I thought I was just telling a testimony to create faith. In fact, Vaughn remembers when this happened the first time. Vaughn was a part of this. Vaughn and Hunter and those guys. But anyway, so I was talking about it, and I was like, "Oh, that's great." And I was like, "Lord, you don't want me to do it, Willie?" He said, "No, I want you to do three." And I was like, "Oh man!" I said, "Well, I said, okay, there's three here right now." I said, "You were either born without a left eardrum, or your left eardrum is no longer functioning. If there's three on this side of the room, come on up here." And so, of course, the three come right up. Okay, God. And so then all of a sudden we do the wet willies. Bam, bam, bam. Well, there was a lady who had come to the meeting and her daughter had gotten hit by a car. And so the daughter comes in on crutches. They were an unbelieving family. They just heard people were getting healed at these meetings. All of a sudden, the power of God hits her daughter in the back of the church. She runs up to the altar, starts running back and forth. I don't know what's going on, but this unbelieving family all of a sudden starts migrating to the front. I mean, and these aren't like just your typical, "Hey, got a little doubt, a little unbelief." These are like openly opposed, like you wouldn't want to run into them in the parking lot kind of guys. And the roughest of them was Mama. It would look like the mom from Goonies. Remember that one? Like throw Mama from the train. I mean, there was a reason they tried to throw Mama from the, no. But she comes up. And all of a sudden, I'm walking back and forth just saying, "Lord, what do you want to do?" As I'm looking at Mama. And I'm, shakataba, shakataba. And so every time I'll get near her, the anointing just gets her. I don't touch her, but the anointing just knocks her down. Every time on the way down, she's hitting F-bombs. I mean, the whole way down. Just getting it. And so the usher's like, "Do you want us to take her in the back, like a deliverance room?" I'm like, "Nah, stand her up." And she started, and so I'm not even praying for her. I'm just going back and forth. Shikalabu saktataba. And I'm perceiving in my heart what's going on. And I can feel this darkness coming out of her. You know why? Proverbs 25:4 says, "When the dross is removed from the silver, then the silver sent to the silversmith to be made into jewelry." And see, oftentimes we back up just before the Lord is about to take the last of the dross out of that silver to send them and to promote them to become an instrument of deliverance in the very area they've been afflicted. So I come back by, and she goes down again, cussing all the way down. You know, just, and it's all F-bombs. All F-bombs. And the room is mic'd. I mean, it's going all over the place. We're streaming. Those of you who are watching around the world, I apologize. This is redemptive. But, and I was like, and I went to the usher. I said, "That was less F-bombs than last time." And so I kept going, and I kept going, and I noticed every time the power of God, and she'd be one of those, she'd get up and like, "Who did that?" You know what I mean? She's like, she's trying, but she's not leaving the altar because of the anointing. She's like, "Whatever's here, I like it, but who keeps tripping me?" I mean, she's like looking around. She's about to open up a can of somebody. And so then it happens again. And then all of a sudden she went down and let out the last, and it was like, "Whoa! Beep!" All the way down. And I perceived in my heart, and some of you, and listen, I'm sorry, if that makes you nervous, you're really not going to like where we're going. If that makes you nervous, you probably wouldn't have hung out with the Lord when He walked. Because it said He didn't come to those who were well. He came to those who were sick and in need of a physician. He's not a G-rated Jesus. And I perceived in my heart, I said, "That was it. That's the one." And so he came back to her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'd like to pray for you." She said, "I'd like for you to pray for me." I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "I think I just met him." See, but honestly, a religious spirit would have said, "Oh, get her out of here. She could ruin the meeting." I was like, "The meeting just got started. Where have you been? We'll take you on the road." And I want to tell you, you perceive here. It's your gut. Trust your gut. You perceive here. See, there's times where, see, your peace can't lie. See, religion will always try to manipulate your mind by presenting to you how something's happening and how someone else's freedom could somehow cause you to be held captive. And how their sin is darker than your light. You just have to know in your heart that that's what you were born for. There's coming a day when we walk in the grocery store and all the demons come to the surface and we can't run. We have to recognize that's what we're made for. And oftentimes we try to protect our reputation and back away from what the Lord is wanting to do in the lives of those around us. But I want to encourage you in your knower to be sensitive to your knower, to be sensitive to the anointing that causes you to know all things, to allow your heart to perceive in itself. And honestly, this is how discerning of spirits works. I'm going to talk to you real quickly about discerning of spirits. I'm going to pray for everybody. Acts 27:10. Now, when much time had been spent, we already read that, impressions and perceptions, number one, are also one of the primary ways the gift discerning of spirits functions. The gift discerning of spirits function. And this is a gift that Holy Spirit wants in operation in this city. As an often overlooked gift, a lot of times we're pursuing word of knowledge, a lot of times we're pursuing word of wisdom, a lot of times we're pursuing prophecy, but discerning of spirits is just as much a revelatory gift of prophecy as any of the others. There's going to be deliverance that happens tonight. There's going to be a whole lot of deliverance that happens in the morning when we deal with this recognizing and removing idols. Deliverance isn't, you know, there's an opportunity to model something different. Thank God for pigs in the parlor, but we're living in a new day. You know? You know, when somebody sneezes, you don't need to jump on him and say, "Come out of him!" I'll tell you, you can displace a lot more darkness with light. I've seen a lot of times in terms of deliverance ministry and true discerning of spirits, somebody wanted to get a leg up in life by pointing to someone else's darkness and say, "Look what I see, look what I know." You ever hear the story of A.A. Allen casting out a devil in the back seat of a car? This is a great story. A.A. Allen, he was doing these meetings, series of meetings with R.W. Schombach. Actually, I believe it was in Birmingham. But there was this one demoniac woman that kept coming to all the meetings. And A.A. Allen said this. He said, "I am not going to let that woman mess up my meeting." Because she was coming and they could just tell she was like going to explode at any time. And so he said, "R.W., I want you to go out and take care of that." And R.W. was the worship leader, and of course he eventually became a minister of miracles himself. And the way that R.W. tells it is that he went and sat in the back of this car with this demonized woman, and he wasn't getting anywhere fast. She was beating him up one side and beating him down the other. And so A.A. Allen comes out about 25 minutes in, opens the door, and is like, "How's it coming, R.W.?" He's like, "Whoa, man, this ain't going good." And so what he does is he gets in the car, and he's got R.W., the demon-possessed woman, and A.A. Allen. And A. Allen leans over and just whispers in her ear. And at that moment, 15 devils leave her body. He didn't shout. He didn't even have to identify him by name. He knew his authority. And R.W. was like, "Jeez, been out here 25 minutes. I've quoted every scripture. I've fled the blood. I've used every name of God I could think of. Jehovah, I mean, we even broke out, you know, Jehovah Jireh. I mean, we tried everything." Said, "I got to know, what did you tell her?" He goes, "Nah, R.W., you don't want to know. I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to tell you. He says, "I'm not going in there. I'm the worship leader. Service don't start without me. I'm not going to play until you tell me." And so A.A. says, "All right, I'll tell you." He said, "Before I could ever tell her come out, I leaned over and whispered in her ear, 'Devil, this is A.'" He didn't even get his name out. Do you feel what just came into the room? You feel it just came into the room. There's always authority when you know who you are. Identity. Matthew 16, Jesus has a revelation of who the Father. The Father gives Jesus a revelation. Matthew 16, you know, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And this is so key for the prophetic, because we're talking about loosing on earth what has been loosed in heaven, binding on earth what has been bound. We're talking about prophetic keys. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" In other words, what have you heard about me? They're like, man, word on the street. Some say Jeremiah. Some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. We're not even sure how that could happen. We saw you both at the same time. That just shows you how confused people can get. He said, all right. He was drawing a line in the sand between soul and spirit. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Bar-Jonah says, "You're the Christ. You are the Son
of the living God.
And what did he say? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, and you are Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church. See, and we've understood that rock as being a revelation of who Jesus is. But there's a lot of people who have a revelation of who Jesus is, that the gates of hell, which is, the gates of hell, by the way, biblically, are just a mouth fueled by doubt and unbelief. Hell, Hades, simply means unseen realm, and it means death and destruction. And see, I'm telling you, the gates of hell are active and operating through a lot of Christians who are fueling, their words are being spoken from a heart of doubt and unbelief. And you see it three verses later in Matthew 16, 19 through 21. All of a sudden, the Lord presents to Peter, hey, listen, guys, it's been a good ride, but I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to suffer many things. And Peter's like, I got the keys. I got this. You must have forgot. I've got a revelation. And see, this was Peter's revelation. Number one, who the Lord is. And see, this is where the prophetic comes in. Number one, having a revelation of who he is, the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, but also to be able to function in a position of purity in the prophetic, you have to know who you are. Peter heard in that moment who Jesus said he was. And when you know from Jesus who you are and you know from the Father who Jesus is, the gates of hell, death and destruction can no longer prevail in your life. Then Matthew 16, 19, he's like, hey, I got to go suffer some things. And Peter's like, no, you don't. And he says, get behind me, you're an offense. Satan, get behind me, you're an offense. And what did he say? He said, you know not the things of God, but you're mindful of men. You know what that tells you? His mind became full of the wisdom of man. And in James 3, it says the wisdom of man is first self-seeking. One of the things that will kill the spirit of prophecy is a self-seeking heart. It says it's self-seeking, sensual, and demonic. Whenever we seek self, we're already pointing to an earthly wisdom that is sensual, that will end up demonic. But it also shows us he had just been given the keys. He had just had a mind full of God, and in a moment, he had a mind full of man. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of saying, Lord, like our friend said, I want to be like a child. I don't want to have this thing figured out. I want to continue to learn all the days of my life. And that's where discernment of spirits will operate in its highest level in your life. That you're continually asking questions. You're continually looking to the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, I ask for you to illuminate, for you to show me what's happening here. Perception, our next number that we've got to move quickly for the sake of time. Perception is the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses. Through the senses. You can write in there Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. It talks about that although by this time we ought to be able to eat meat, we still need milk because it says that we have not matured because we've not yet exercised our senses to discern between good and evil. In the same way that we have prophetic, in the same way we have natural touch, we have prophetic touch. In the same way that we have natural smell, we have prophetic smell. In the same way that we have natural sight, we've got prophetic sight. In the same way that we have a natural ability to hear, we have a prophetic ability to hear and taste as well. Okay? And this is another thing that we'll be teaching, possibly in the advanced prophetic. Mark 2:8, it says this, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? How many of you have ever been in a situation where you're in a conversation or in a room and all of a sudden you can feel the voice of doubt and unbelief in somebody else's heart? Listen, the prophetic ain't polite. The prophetic roots out and pulls down. The prophetic confronts, okay? It does not uncover, but it does confront. The best thing you can do is speak the truth in love. And what you do, I do it all the time. What you do is, hey, what was that right there? What do you mean? Well, no, what are you thinking? Like when this happened, what does that make you think? Because a lot of times people are like, let's not rock the cart. We'll just continue to walk in unsanctified mercy and nobody will get hurt. When the best way that you can love them is being true to what you perceive and say, hey, what was that? Did doubt just come into your heart? Because when you say that, they're not going to feel exposed. Doubt will actually be loosened in their life because they'll see something they didn't know they had. And that's one of the ways that we proclaim liberty to those who have been held captive. How many of you recognize that God has been speaking to you through impressions and prophetic perceptions? You feel it in your heart. This is the most common way, and honestly, some of the greatest authority for deliverance and discerning of spirits comes this way. For the sake of time, you can look in your own for Luke 8, 40 through 46 here. It talks about how the Lord, of course, perceived. Mark 5, that was, of course, the story with the woman with the issue of blood. It was about how she knew in herself that she had been healed, and how God knew in Himself that power had gone out of him. Let's look at physical feelings. Again, we're looking at physical feelings, perceptions, sensations in your body. These can be related to physical perceptions, but they differ oftentimes both in the way they come and the message they carry. The way they come and the message they carry. For instance, words of knowledge that come to your physical body, oftentimes it just comes with a physical sensation related to injury or infirmity, but it lacks emotion. Okay? Now, physical feelings that are more prophetic perceptions oftentimes carry an emotional reaction as well. Okay? Whether it be a heaviness, a depression, a sick feeling. You get that sick feeling in your stomach when all of a sudden you perceive witchcraft and manipulation and operating. You get the cold legs, you get the wormy, you know, you feel like your legs are all just shaky, that kind of deal. That is not just you being nervous, okay? That is your discerning of spirits operating. I didn't recognize for a long time how my discerning of spirits operated. When a religious spirit comes into the room or comes into my life and tries to control, I get a righteous anger. And it took me knocking out my 8th grade math teacher to find that out. And long story. Believe it or not, I had cheated on a Bible verse. Anyway, long story. But God has a sense of humor. And oftentimes people don't recognize how they're wired prophetically. And because of that, they live in misunderstanding and misappropriation of their gift for a long time. The best thing we can do is say, Lord, what is that? Why do I feel this way when this person does that? Okay? Now, emotional perceptions. The above impressions are more informational in nature. That's what I'm talking about in terms of word of knowledge. Emotional perceptions are more feeling-oriented. Feeling-oriented. Now, gotta give a disclaimer with that. Although our feelings are often inaccurate indicators of reality. Although our feelings are often inaccurate indicators of reality, God has created our emotions and will sometimes speak to us through them for others. Not always, okay? Sometimes your feelings are just that, your feelings, okay? Now, it's a feeling in your soul what someone else is experiencing. Why? How do you know when you've walked through something that somebody else is experiencing, all of a sudden you can get down to where they are with empathy and compassion and show real mercy? Write down Luke 6, 17 through 19. Luke 6, 17 through 19 says this. It says, the Lord came down from a high place and he stood on a level place with the people. And when he did, power went out from him and healed them all. You see, and when we get down where people are, all of a sudden we unlock power in us we didn't even know was there. But whenever we try to lord our position over them, we actually restrain the power of God in our life to move. Capturing and expressing the Lord's heart for somebody is one of the reasons why. And it also allows us to tap into the feeling of the Lord for that person. Mark 1:41 says, Jesus was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and he touched them and said to them, I am willing, be cleansed. Compassion is the understanding or empathy for the suffering of others. Compassion has an emotional aspect to it. Now, we have a word of wisdom and balance here. And then we're going to, again, just move into a time. I want to pray for all of you with this. And then we'll go ahead and step into a time of activation if we still have time to do so. Okay? And then tomorrow morning, those of you who have your 103, Bishop Chuck came. He said, hey, listen, we've got a window of time tomorrow. This is a quick teaching, 103 on recognizing and removing idols. But honestly, I've seen it set so many free in the body of Christ to minister from their spirit and not their soul, to not minister based on personal opinion or past experiences or having illegal idols set up on the altar of your life, but instead being able to be a pure river that flows like crystal from the foundation of his throne, releasing righteousness and justice in the hearts of those who hear you. But here's a word of wisdom and balance when it comes to interpreting impressions and prophetic perceptions. When ministering to someone out of impressions, oftentimes the Lord will allow an area to be touched in your heart where you have suffered, that blank there is suffered in times past, but have since been healed, so that you can minister with God-given authority to those who are suffering in areas where you have suffered in times past. How many of you know it says in Hebrews, we gain authority from the things we've suffered. But notice it says areas where you've suffered and been healed. Okay? Now, if the Lord begins to speak to you through your emotions in an area that is an open wound, and it's always good, by the way, when possible, to bring someone else with you when ministering sensitive prophetic material. Okay? Both for accountability and also just for your own soul. Okay? You don't want to go backwards. Oftentimes, people whose primary prophetic wiring has to do with the discerning of spirits and impressions of what God is communicating to them through their feelings, sometimes they can either be viewed as unstable or even feel personally off balance emotionally. Has anybody ever felt like that? Okay. Does anybody feel like that consistently? Okay. However, and when I say consistently, I don't mean like every minute of every day, but I mean like several times a month, you feel almost kind of this instability. When you walk into various places, you feel kind of emotionally off balance, and you'll be like, fine, all of a sudden you walk in and you're just overcome with emotion and you don't know why. There's no natural reason behind the way you feel right then. God is highlighting to you how you're prophetically wired and how you're gifted, because at that moment you say, okay, God, why? And you've sent me here because you want to release your light in the midst of this darkness. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. In fact, I believe that there's somebody here. That's a prayer you've prayed. Isaiah 6 talks about how the Lord is looking, saying, who should we send? Who will go for us? And there's some of your cry to the Lord, especially today, has been, here am I. Send me. And there's, and I'm telling you, God is actually bringing a definition and an understanding even tonight, and who you are and how you function in times past, where maybe you felt discounted as it related to who you are as a gift to the body of Christ. And if that's you right now, I want you to stand up, because there is an opportunity for authority. There's an opportunity for advancement. There's an opportunity for fresh anointing. Because when Isaiah answered that call and said, here am I, the first thing he had was an excuse not to be used by God. See, the Lord's looking. He says, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. The only thing he had to present to God was an excuse. Why not? And God said, that's exactly the one that I want. Is that you? Can I pray? What's that? Huh? What? I can't hear you. I can't see it either. What does it say? Oh, it's the verse. That's a good sign. Here I am. Send me. I really, whoa, man. How many of you feel God? I really feel that this is a token and this is a sign of a stability that God is bringing and an authority that God is bringing, not just to this body, but also to you. I want to pray for you. Can you guys pray with me? I believe that God is going to do something of a ministry of righteousness and boldness, because God has given you a ministry of justice. I'll tell you, James 1:27 talks about pure and undefiled religion is to care for the widow and to care for the orphan. And even though you're a woman, you've got a Psalm 68:5 heart to be a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. It says in Psalm 68:6 that he would set the solitary in families and bring out those who are bound into a place of prosperity. And God has given you a ministry to the solitary to bring them into a place called family. God has set you in a family to where you could bring others, the desolate, in, not only to a family, but to where they could dwell in houses. God has given you a specific vision and mission and ministry, even to the homeless, to the destitute, to the prostitute, to the crack addict. And it says not only that, it says he'll bring up, man, do you guys feel the presence? It will bring out those who are bound into prosperity. Stretch out your hand. This is a fresh commissioning, not just for you, but also for this house. See, we've been seeing this happen a lot at our church. I'll start talking about prosperity, we'll have a visitor, it'll be named Prosperity. I mean, we'll start talking about faith, we'll have a visitor, named Faith. I'm telling you, God is so, he's speaking so clearly right now to so many. He's saying, guys, listen, you're on the right path. I am on your path. Just continue to, you feel that just coming in right now? Father, right now. Caleb, come here. Caleb's got an anointing for this. Can you place your hand? And Rosemary, can you come here? Can you place your hand right there on Isaiah 6:8 in Guatemala? And then Caleb's going to put his hand on there. And can we have somebody, maybe Big John, come stand behind her? Because I saw the Lord releasing lightning out of the cups and out of the bowls. Out of the cups and out of the bowls where Caleb saw the fire. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we release Deborah. Lord, we release Deborah. Because Deborah in Judges 4, 5, and 6, it says she called for Barak. And see, Gideon had to be anointed by God. Samson had to be given the strength of the Lord. But I'm telling you this, Deborah just saw a need and met the need. That's what's great about women, right? They don't need an anointing, they just need a cause. They just go after it. She saw a need and it says she called for Barak. You know what Barak means? It means lightning or flaming sword. And that's what I saw the Lord giving you. He's giving you a flaming sword. He's giving you the ministry of Deborah. It's a ministry of justice. It's a ministry where lightning and breakthrough is going to come, especially in the area. She's going to have great grace for financial favor for mercy. Financial favor for mercy. I'm telling you, where people have come up against closed doors in this city in times past, she's going to have keys to open those doors, to unlock favor for mercy, specifically to the widow and to the orphan. All right. See. However, the more secure we are, let's pick up back where we are so we can go ahead and get to our impartation here. However, the more secure we are in our identity, the next blank is identity as believers and sons, daughters of God, the more grounded we become in the Word. And the more we filter what we are sensing and feeling through the Word of God, the more stable, reliable, and trustworthy we become in this area of personal prophetic gifting. So the blanks there are identity, grounded, Word, filter. I'll tell you, there's a new anointing that just came in here. We just want to get through this so you have the blanks, and then we can step back into the anointing. But as we grow in our personal understanding of how God communicates with us and begin to see measurable fruit from this type of prophetic insight, accurately interpreting what God is saying, we'll become more confident in this often disregarded and unrecognized linguistic aspect of our personal prophetic ministry. Again, oftentimes this is a high-level area that God speaks to those who are called to mercy missions. Mercy missions. Mercy missions. Again, the blanks there are identity, grounded, Word, and filter. However, the more secure we are in our identity as believers and sons, daughters of God, the more grounded we become in the Word, and the more we filter what we are sensing and feeling through the Word of God. The more stable, reliable, and trustworthy we become in this area of our personal prophetic gifting. As we grow in our personal understanding of how God communicates with us and begin to see measurable fruit from this type of prophetic insight, accurately interpreting what God is saying, we will then become more confident in this often disregarded and unrecognized linguistic aspect of our personal prophetic ministry. Common issues with interpretation. Lack of biblical knowledge and understanding. We talked about it earlier. Personal opinion, past experience, and idols of the heart. And we will pick up with idols of the heart tomorrow. You have several scriptures there. Let me go ahead and give you the blanks. When it talks about keys to interpreting impressions and perceptions, that's also known as accurately discerning truth. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you missed a blank, you can feel free to raise your hand and we'll come back to where you are. Did you miss a blank?
Two and three.
Yeah, personal opinion, past experience, idols of the heart. We had covered that this afternoon, so that's why I just skipped over it real quickly. And we're going to come back and do it again tomorrow. Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You see, it's revelation that comes as a lamp. By the way, is it helpful to you to have these study guides to be able to catch the content? I know I speak fast. There's a lot of information. And when the anointing comes, I talk that much faster. Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of your word gives light." That's revelation. "And gives understanding or interpretation to the simple." Remember this. Understanding is the essence of interpretation. Everyone can get revelation. The maturity that we need is interpreting what it is that God is saying through the revelation that has come. And that's often where people miss it. Did you miss a blank?
Yeah, it's what to the simple,
Understanding. Understanding. Yes, sir. Hebrews 4:11-12 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Now, disobedience is sin, right? Romans 14:23 says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." Okay? See, I want to tell you this. Sin is not as much about what you've done, it's more the heart you do it from. You see, it says, "With the heart one believes unto righteousness, not with the hand one behaves unto righteousness." And I'll tell you, when we remember that and take it to the streets, all of a sudden we can begin to see an army of people set free with the confession of their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And with the heart, they can believe unto righteousness, and their hand will always follow their heart. Amen? "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen? All right. We're going to go ahead and end there. You guys have been very patient. I know it took us a while to get going tonight. Tomorrow morning, I had mentioned to you that we were going to talk tonight about the four R's of Lectio Divina. How many of you would like to know how to be able to encounter the Lord in ecstatic visions and trances in your devotional time?